And we're going to be in James chapter 1 tonight. Never forget that God created you. David said that he knitted me together in my mother's womb. Don't forget who your creator is. I want to ask you this question. It's really a question that we're going to focus on tonight. And it's this: am I a full-time Christian? Or am I just a part-time Christian? See, there are so many Christians that are okay with just being the part-time Christian. They're okay with just doing the bare minimum. They're okay with just coming in on Sunday. They're okay with listening to what the preacher has to say and then going and doing the opposite on Monday. They're okay with that. See, God does not want part-time Christians. But He wants full-time Christians. He wants the Christian that will be fully devoted to Him. He wants the Christian that will say, "I will go, God." I hope today that you're that Christian. I hope today you're the full-time Christian. When God says, "Hey, I need this done," you jump and I say, "I will go." Verse 2 in James chapter 1 says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." See, the full-time Christian knows this, that trials and sufferings will come. And they're not just going to come in just one form. No, the Bible says they're going to come in many kinds of trials, trials that you may never have faced before. But the full-time Christian knows this, that God holds everything in His hands, that He holds all wisdom, which we'll read here in just a second. But the part-time Christian acts the opposite way. See, when trials come for the part-time Christian, they seek everybody else except God. They seek everybody else except God. Normally what happens is when the trial comes, the part-time Christian will so easily fall into sin or become angry with God because they don't understand the joy that comes from a trial. They don't understand the perseverance that you may be mature, not lacking anything. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. We have forgotten the one who holds all wisdom. Perfect, pleasing wisdom from God. The one who can give us perfect advice. See, we have become a people of buts. I probably should explain myself. It's like this. The part-time Christian will say, "Yeah, I know God knows all things, but my problem is just too much." Or this: "I know God answers prayers, but mine just seems so small." We're people that are filled with buts. But instead, we should turn those around. See, the full-time Christian will say this: "I have this problem, but my God is big enough to handle it. I know God can take care of all things. My God will answer my prayers." Never doubt God can help you. God created you. God knitted you together. God wants to help you. But what does it say? It says, "You must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." Blown and tossed by the wind. See, the part-time Christian is unstable, double-minded. They'll think one thing, but do the other. Verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. See, the biggest difference between the full-time and part-time, in a worldly stance, what's the biggest difference? Is normally the full-time person, the full-time employee, gets benefits. Right? They get the insurance, right? They get the health insurance. They normally get some vacation. Not that sometimes a part-time Christian or a part-time employee doesn't get some stuff. I'm sure some of you have worked part-time jobs where you get this or that. But the full-time, there's always benefits involved. Here it says in verse 17, every good, perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Praise God that he never changes. Praise God that he has always been the same. See, so many Christians want the benefits. They want the blessings. But they're not willing to be full-time. They're not willing to be completely devoted to Christ. See, something is always holding them back, whether it's a sin or it's whether they're only selfish desires. Verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let me read that again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. If you want to be full-time, if you want to be the full-time Christian, you must get rid of all moral filth. You must get rid of those sins that are holding you back in your life. Three big things that everyone struggles with right here in the beginning. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. All those three people struggle with, almost on a daily basis. It says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. See, the full-time Christian knows this, that sin will hold them back. I hope today you know this, that sin will hold you back from God. Sin will separate you from God. And it also holds them back from the blessings of God. I'm sure some of you have heard this, that God doesn't bless a mess. Jimmy has said it before. See, the part-time Christian is about this. Me, myself, and I. It's all about self. See, the biggest thing is the part-time Christian is guided by this, not by God, but by what they feel. The part-time Christian will let their feelings guide them through life. But see, what they don't know is that their feelings are the things that are making them go astray. See, I'm glad that verse 17 says that he does not change like the shifting shadows, because I know that my feelings change all the time. People's feelings change in a moment, but God never changes. Realize that with me today, that God never changes. You want to know what's right, church? Read God's word. See, I want to say this because it spoke so much to me. And if some of you might have been there to hear this, but I think it fits so well with this. About 2 weeks ago, Brother Matthew said really a simple phrase, but a powerful phrase at the semi-annual meeting. He said this, "It is not about happiness, but holiness." I think I need to say that again. It is not about happiness. It is about holiness. And who is holy? God is holy. So it's all about God. That's so powerful. Because all that the part-time Christian wants to do is seek happiness. Isn't that what the world tells us to do? Seek happiness. Seek what makes you happy. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it goes against God's word. Seek it. But God says the complete opposite. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, which it is, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This word of God saves people. The thing that you might not pick up, that you might have really never read, but someone has read it to you, saves people. Saves the souls of men. Gives them eternal life. The word of God changes people's lives. It is not about happiness, but holiness. Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. It seems kind of silly to look at yourself in a mirror and forget completely what you look like the moment. But let me ask you this. It's like this. Pastor Jimmy's up here. He's preaching the word of truth to you. He's telling you not to do this or go and do this, but yet you've turned around the next day and do the complete opposite. I've been there. I've heard the word of God, the word of truth, and done the complete opposite. And it makes me feel guilty and convicted when it should. We should feel convicted. Why? Why should we be convicted? Because it changes you. That overwhelming guilt of the Holy Spirit should change you. See, we should not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Seems like a simple concept, right? Don't just hear, but do. But so many people sit in those pews, listen, but never do. Pastor says, read your Bible this week. But we never do. Pray this week, but we never do. Tell someone about Jesus. But we never do. See, so many of us have forgotten that the Word of God is powerful. The thing that most of you probably have multiple copies of, the thing that sits on bookshelves, in the nightstands of hotels, changes people's lives. Thing that is mass-produced for everyone. In many, many languages, changes people's lives. God has given us something holy so that we would live holy. He's given us a guide right here, but yet we say it's too boring. Or it doesn't apply to us anymore. It's not worth anything anymore. Or this, I'll take this piece, but I'll forget the 16 verses that come after it. Because I don't like those verses. those verses don't make me feel good. It's not about what we feel, church. It's about what is right. It's about what is true. God is true. See, so many people are living like Jesus was just a man who died. And I want to tell you this. Jesus rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the throne, interceding for you and I. That doesn't sound like a dead God to me. That sounds like a God who wants me to succeed. That sounds like a God who wants to bless me, who wants me to have the benefits. But let me tell you this, church. You can't have the benefits unless you're full time. Do not deceive yourselves. God's word is still good for all things. It's not good for just some things. It's good for all things. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just one verse that's so powerful. And I hope you memorize this verse. I challenge you to memorize this verse because it might just help you read your Bible on a daily basis. So many people just think these are words printed on a page. Verse 16 in chapter 3, 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture has been God-breathed. What does that mean? Inspired. God has inspired this book for every single person, not just for the believer. This isn't just for us, but it's for the lost. The lost and dying world. It is for those people to understand that this truth, that Jesus is the only way to salvation, that God's grace is the thing that can save you. We must be people that are full time. We have too many part-time Christians within the church. Too many part-time Christians. I don't know about you, but I want the benefits. I want the blessings. I want the peace. I want the joy. I don't want to be wavering like the wind. I don't want to be tossed here and there. I want to be strong. I want to be standing on the solid foundation. Who is that solid foundation? What is it? It is Jesus Christ in the Word of God. I hope today that you stand on this. I hope today that you don't just put this back on your shelf after you leave today. I hope you read it and know that every single word in this has been inspired by God for you. See, it says here, back in James, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, meaning this isn't good for just one day. This isn't good for just that salvation piece. It is. But it's good for so much more than that. See, the problem with the part-time Christian is really they got one thing. A good thing. Really an amazing thing. They have salvation. They have Jesus Christ. But see, God's not just in the saving business. He is, and I'm thankful for it. But He wants to change the believer's life. He wants to heal you. You know God can still heal? You know that? We think it's just like a foreign concept now. But God still heals. And we hear it throughout the church, but we let it pass in and out the other. I'm so glad on Wednesdays we get to do prayer and praise. Because we get to hear what God is doing. Even the part-time believer gets to hear it. But see, there's something different about the part-time and the full-time. The full-time Christian is usually the one experiencing it. The part-time Christian, they get to hear it. They get to hear the awesomeness of God. But it's so much better to experience the awesomeness of God. And that's what James is saying right here when he says, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. God wants you to have a testimony that goes beyond salvation. So many people live on that one testimony, one great, awesome testimony. But God still heals. God still answers prayers. But we have so many people within the church that just doubt, that they just don't believe God can do it. There are so many instances in the Bible that God's done it. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood on the Word of God. They stood on who God was. But those trials that came through to them, those trials that sent them straight into the fiery furnace, they got to witness something spectacular. They got to witness somehow, which we know how, that they weren't even singed by that fire. Though it burnt soldiers up before they even reached it. Somehow they lived. God is still in the healing business. He is still in the answering prayer business. But He wants you to stand firm on who He is. God created you. That's God created you. Why did He create us? Did He create us just to sit and listen? Or did He create us to do? Did He create us to fill out His ultimate mission? What is that ultimate mission? What is God all about? He's all about changing the souls of men. See, do you know this gospel that we read? The gospel that most of us have read, maybe even over and over again, is not just for us, but for the lost, for the dying world. But most of us might not have even said Jesus outside these four walls. God doesn't want a bunch of people ashamed of who He is. Could you imagine a church that is full time for God? A church that's not just about Him on Sundays and even Wednesdays, but a church that is willing to go Monday, Tuesday, throughout the whole week, at work, at school, no matter where it is, they're willing to preach the name of Jesus Christ. What an awesome image. You know that image isn't so far off. Do you know today that you don't have to fill out some application? That you don't have to fill out a resume? That you're not up against a bunch of applicants going for the same job? That God literally accepts every person who is willing to be full-time. There's no certain amount of people. God has given us it right here in the Word of God. There are so many things in this book. We read so many things. See, the book of James is all about being a good Christian. It's all about, you want to know how to live a Christian life, read the book of James. See, in concepts that we can't even understand, like consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. What? I'm supposed to have joy when some crazy thing in life tries to knock me down? Oh yeah. Why? God said so. God didn't just say it to say it. Hopefully, maybe today you've even experienced it. the joy within a trial, the perseverance, the never giving up in the face of many kinds of trials. I want to end with this last verse one more time. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So as we stand, I really want you to think, am I a full-time Christian? Am I the full-time Christian, or am I just a part-time Christian? And I want to leave you with something here. Maybe today you're unemployed. I'm not talking about in a worldly sense, but I'm talking about you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're unemployed. You can come down today.